All right, in the book of James, we've been looking at some really practical information on living the Christian life. We talked in chapter 1 about trials and temptations. In chapter 2, we looked at partiality and the conduct of our lives, reflecting the beliefs that we have. And today we're going to look at the things that we say, and also the things that we say, what that comes from inside of us. So chapter 3 talks about the tongue, and the tongue is a powerful tool. In other words, the words that we speak are very powerful. We have the opportunity to really lift people up, and we have the opportunity to really tear people down, and that's on an ongoing basis. And so it's a very practical passage for us to be guided here this morning. In chapter 3, beginning from verse 1, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So that puts the fear of God in you right there if you're a teacher, because you know you're going to be influencing people. People tend to believe what you have to say, and so the idea here is that teachers are going to be held accountable for what they say. And so it's something that's a tremendous privilege to be able to share the word of God, but there's also a tremendous responsibility because of the influence that comes forth from that. And, you know, I can't help but think, rather than just looking at Bible teachers and applying that this passage to Bible teachers, I can't help but think of how all of us influence other people in one way or another, and how there's a certain responsibility, I think, that each one of us holds in our sphere of influence. I primarily think about parents and how we have such a tremendous influence over our children as we mold them as they're growing up in those so influential years. And it's a big responsibility. It's a tremendous privilege that we've been given. And I have a feeling we're going to be held accountable for what we do, our actions, and so forth. Even as friends, as I talked about the things that we say, we can encourage people to do great things, or we can tear them down. And so there's a responsibility in our words and how we can encourage or discourage other people. So let's keep that in mind as we go through this passage. Apparently, you know, in James' day, as any time, there were people who just liked the idea of being the one who tells other people what to do, who liked to be teachers. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said that there are those who have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. You know, in other words, they don't know what they're talking about, but they really like to be the one who's teaching. And again, the warning here is that there's going to be a time of reckoning. They're going to be held accountable for what they say. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, "I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment." So what we have here is a passage that gives us, I think, tremendous motivation to encourage other people, but also a warning that we would think twice before we speak. And of course, James spoke about that in chapter 1, that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so it's about the things that we say today, very practical and applicable for all of us. In verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things." And unfortunately, that's true. We'd all probably give a hearty amen to that. We all stumble in many things. What does he mean by stumble? Well, it means doing the wrong thing. It means blowing it. We all blow it in many ways. The same word stumble in verse 2 is used in chapter 2, verse 10. In chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So what's he talking about right there? Whoever's a law keeper and is doing what God has commanded him to do, whoever's a law keeper and yet stumbles in one point, what does it mean? Well, it means breaking one of those laws. Well, what is that? That's sin, okay? So the word stumble in chapter 2, verse 10 is really referring to sinning. So in chapter 3, verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things." We all blow it. We all sin in many ways. "If anyone does not stumble in word in the things that he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." If you're able to keep from sinning when you speak, then you're perfect. And the idea is mature. And that's what we're striving towards, is to be mature Christians and careful in the things that we say. If we're able to say the right things, it's a show of our maturity and also were able to bridle the imagery of bringing a horse under control with the reins. We're able to bridle the whole body. In Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And that's why I think the idea is to be slow to speak. The more that we speak, I know it's true for me, the more that I speak, the possibility of stumbling in many ways is right there in front. So he begins this imagery here of the power of the tongue, the words that we have, how they can move great things and move in mighty ways. He says in verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. When you think about it, you can get a girl who weighs less than 100 pounds on a beast that is 10 times her weight, and yet she can control that animal because of the bit that is within the mouth. So a very small thing, and yet a very powerful thing. And verse 4, look also at ships. Also, they are so large and are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Again, you've got huge ships and a very small rudder that's guiding that huge ship. And the idea here in the passage is something that is very small and yet very powerful. Even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue, and of course what we're speaking of here, are the words that we say. The things that we say can cause, again, either tremendous encouragement or tremendous damage. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We have the ability, again, to really, when you think about it, change the course of a person's life by the things that we say. And I don't think we realize the amount of influence that we have, even among ourselves in the family of God, the body of Christ. The things that we say that can encourage people to step out in areas where otherwise they just wouldn't do it. You know, there wouldn't be that kind of motivation there. And I guess I can do it, unless maybe you're there going, you know, I know you can do this. I know with God, all things are possible. And you can step out in this area outside of your comfort zone and see God do great things. Or we can ridicule people for even thinking of trying. And sometimes we do that as spouses. You know, sometimes, and again, when those words come out, guys, they're so hard to bring them back. In fact, they're impossible to bring back, aren't they? They use the illustration of squeezing out toothpaste. How hard is it to get that toothpaste back in the tube? You know, nearly impossible. And so those words that come out, we can apologize. Oh, I didn't mean it. But the words are out there and they've had their impact. Death and life in the power of the tongue, just in the words that are spoken. Think of a judge who slams down the gavel and he either says guilty or he says innocent, and it changes the course of that person's life. Think about the president who speaks a few words and he can take us into a war with another country. You know, think about a parent who says yes or no, who encourages or who ridicules, and it can change the course of that person's life. And that's the idea of the power of the things that we say. And so he likens it here, this very small thing, how it can do great things. He likens it to a little fire, a little spark that can create a tremendous forest fire and do much damage. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So a little fire can disrupt the wildlife in a forest. Anybody remember Bambi? You know what I mean? It totally changes their lives. And that's the idea, again, with the words that we speak. It can so encourage people to do great things or discourage them to defeat. And we have that ability by the things that we say. And so, admittedly, again, this is directed initially to teachers, to those who are teaching the word. It's a tremendous responsibility. We will be held accountable. But again, I think the application is for all of us in the words that come out of our mouth, the things that we say and how we can encourage or discourage others. Verse 10, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. And how that resonates here after our worship service. With our words, we bless God. We lift up our hearts in praise and adoration, and yet with that same tongue, we can turn around and we can curse our brother and sister who's been made in the image of God. And that's one thing that'll keep us in check. You know, when you think about it, you're his child just as much as I'm his child. And so if I've got bitterness or a critical thought that's ready to come out, I've got to remember that he loves you just as much as he loves me, you know. And you know how we love our kids. I mean, you could be talking with somebody and you could say something against somebody, but you start saying something against their kids. And then, you know, those are fighting words right there. And so think about how much God loves each one of us and just how important it is that we use this power of speech to be able to encourage and be able to build up. And it's the ones that are closest with us. You know, it's not distant acquaintances, but it's the ones that are closest, our spouses, our children, our friends. Those are the ones we're going to have the greatest impact on. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Verse 11. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. We're starting to look at the source right here. Okay, you got a spring, it's either going to be fresh water or salt water. You got a grapevine, you're going to get grapes off of it, okay? The source is going to produce the fruit that's going to come forth. So if we got salt water coming out, if we've got bitter words coming out of our mouth, then the issue is not, oh, we should restrain our words. The issue is what's going on in the source, okay? And that's where God can come in and change our lives. That's where he can come in and he can clean us up so that the things that are coming out of our mouths are things that are going to encourage other people. G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. We live in a world, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that wants to squeeze us into its mold, wants us to have the same kind of moral standards that the world has. Don't deceive yourself. Whatever you put in, that's what's going to come out. If we're pouring into ourselves the trash that's in our media, the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, don't be deceived. That's what's going to influence you. That's what's going to come out of your mouth. We've got to remember that. So G-I-G-O can also be good in, good out. So we put the good in, we pour the good in, and that's the well that we've got to draw from. It was J. Vernon McGee that said, out of the well of the heart comes the bucket of the mouth. You know, it's out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, as Jesus said, that the mouth speaks. And so that's really the key there. As it said in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue, but you see, God, he can do it. And I think the key is by him working in our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. It's that joint partnership. It's us making the choice that, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I want your will to be done in my life, and allowing him to work in us. And as we do the things he wants us to do, as we pour the good in, then the fruit of that, of the Spirit's work, is going to be something that's going to be a blessing. And I believe that's where James goes with this as he continues on. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Let him show by good conduct. James is all about actions, isn't he? Being a doer of the word, by showing forth your faith by the works that come from your life. So the person that's wise, okay, what's the opposite of being wise? Being a fool, right? We want to be wise. And being wise, as we pour the good in, that's when the good is going to come out. And that's where he's leading us here, is making the right choices so that we can use the power that God has given us in our speech to be able to do good things and encourage people on to greatness. And it's neat to see that happen, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure you guys have been probably encouraged and discouraged in your life. And I'm sure that we all have probably encouraged and discouraged people by our words. It's neat to see people being encouraged. It's neat to see positive things, positive attitudes take place. When we went with the youth to Knott's Berry Farm. It was so cool to see the kids have such positive attitudes and the adults have such positive attitudes when you're standing in lines most of the day. You know, it was beautiful weather, though. But standing in lines, there was such a good attitude among the kids and among the adults. It was a very pleasant experience. You could have turned that thing right around, and we could have complained the whole time, and it would have been a completely different day. But because there were positive attitudes, because the words that were coming forth were good, it made for a great day. And so just everyday life, how this works. So in contrast to the good conduct, verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So here we have the barometer, how we can look and see what's taking place and look at what the source of that is. If we've got bitter envy, if we're zealously jealous of other people. And again, that's the standard of the world right there. When somebody else does good, to be jealous of them. How come it wasn't me that got promoted? How come they got it and I didn't get it? Those are the standards that we see in the world. And so if there is bitterness in there, if there's bitter envy, if there's self-seeking, that's looking out for me. I'm looking out for, I don't really care that much about you. I'm looking out for me. Those kind of things are not coming from God. That's the garbage that has come in. And as he says here, this wisdom doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from above. Rather, in verse 15, it's earthly. It's of the world. It's the world's standards. It's not only earthly, it's also sensual. The idea of that is soulish. It comes from the unregenerate man. Okay? So the world, the flesh, and what was the last word of verse 15? The devil. Okay? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Sound familiar? That's what our war's against right there. Okay? So that's why we need God and we need him working in our hearts and bearing fruit out of our lives. It says in 1 John chapter 5 that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, the influence of the devil. So again, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we can't let the world squeeze us into its mold. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's the good going in that's going to change us. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Where envy and self-seeking exist, there's confusion. You ever been in a situation, a relationship of whatever kind, and it's like, man, this is so confusing right now. What just happened in that conversation? That's, again, kind of a barometer that things aren't going right. There's trouble. That's the fruit. That's the result of this worldly wisdom, of this fleshly wisdom, this demonic type of actions that take place. And so it's a way to tell. Something's not quite right. Or the thoughts that we might be thinking. I think I'll say this next time I see them. You know, this is a good way to judge that. Is there a zealous envy that's going on? Is there disorder, is one of the translations. Confusion. Contrast that with verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And that's the idea of being pure and being clean, unadulterated, not defiled by anything. Okay, the thoughts that I have in my heart, you know, and this is the thing that I believe when we're seeking direction from God, whatever it might be, what we're going to do, what we're going to say, if there's a peace that's coming inside, I think that's one of the key indicators. If there's like, I'm not sure and I'm confused about this, I think we need to give it a hard second look. And I think that this is an aside, but I think the best way that we can hear from God is being willing to do what he wants us to do, whatever it might be. You know, we've got a decision before us. Do I do A or do I do B? If we're sold out and I'm going to do A and God, I'm praying, what do you want me to do? And I know it's going to be A, it's got to be A, then we're not going to hear from God. I don't believe, because we've made up our minds. But if we're having the attitude of not my will, but your will be done. Yes, this is what I really want. But even more than that, I want your will to be done. We're in the best position to hear from the Lord. And then when the Lord speaks to us, no matter how difficult the thing might be that we have to do, we're going to have peace in us because there's a purity about that. And I think maybe the purity speaks of the motive. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. be able to hear and receive from him. So the wisdom that is from above is first pure, of primary importance, it's pure, then peaceable. And again, that peace that comes with being led by the Lord and doing the right thing. And then gentle. Gentle, one commentator referred to that as sweet reasonableness, you know, willing to yield, willing to work things out, willing to be flexible, full of mercy, compassion, and good fruits, without partiality, as James spoke of last week, and without hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is? It's being a pretender. Hypocrisy is being an actor, pretending to be somebody you're not. And so when people look at our lives and they say, oh, that person's a hypocrite, what is that saying? It's saying, well, we're pretending to be a Christian, but really by our actions, we're really not doing that. That's what hypocrisy is, being a pretender. The wisdom that is from above is without hypocrisy. Can you see the pureness in verse 17 as it's describing that? And again, I think as we look at this and we get an evaluation on looking inside and evaluating our own circumstances, where our own hearts are, this is a great way to be able to judge it. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness, the peace that comes as we do what God wants us to do. May the things that we say and our actions be that which is going to make Christianity attractive, as opposed to being the excuse as to why a person will not become a Christian. Because we tremendously influence other people's lives by the things that we say, and the things that we say are coming out of what's within. I would rather have people say of all of us, what they have in their lives, that's what I want. Whatever it is, that's what I want. I see a peace, I see a joy, I see a strength in the midst of turmoil, as opposed to them saying of us, that's the reason that I'm not a Christian. Let us be attractive Christianity as opposed to the excuse as why people would say, that's why I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Whew, James. James is a book that tells us what to do, the power of the tongue and the source from which those words come. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we've got our marching orders. Let's stand up and march. If you'd like prayer, guys, please come forward at the close of this song. We'd love to pray with you. It was a shorty today. I know that. You're thinking, man, is he done already, or is he going to do two chapters? No. I think I'm taking it to heart a little bit. You know, in the abundance of words, sin is not lacking. So I was a little shaken up this week by this passage, all right? So now, why don't we stand for a closing word of prayer? Father, we do thank you for your word, and especially as we're going through the book of James, it's just so applicable. It's encouraging, and yet it's sobering at the same time. And I just pray, Father, that you would help each one of us be those instruments in your hands that are used for good, bringing glory to you by the light that we shine, and not to be weapons that are used by the enemy, O Lord. In our sphere of influence, Father, I pray that you would just make us ever aware of just how powerful the things that we say are. And thinking just of our immediate sphere, our spouses, our family members, our friends, the body of Christ, people that we work with and socialize with. And Father, we commit ourselves into your hands, our desires for your will to be done in our lives, Lord. Thank you for those who have come out. May your blessing be upon your people. Father, if there are any here who are searching and don't yet know you, I pray that they would open their heart and come to you, the God of compassion, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and find that meaning and purpose that only you can give. We thank you for it so much. In Jesus' name, amen.